Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
You are a candidate for God's power and God's use. God has always used men to fulfill His purposes throughout the ages. And today, God wants to walk with you through your circumstances. We are still looking at God's presence being your hope in hopeless situations. And today we want to zero in again and look at how God's presence and His sovereignty can bring hope in hopeless situations. Let us pray and ask God for His help. Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the privilege to come before your holy throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you will help us even in our times of need. Father, thank you for the privilege and for the honor and the joy of knowing that you fight for your children. You are strong, you are mighty, you are the Almighty God, and you still stand for your children. You bring hope in hopeless situations. In those moments when we feel defeated, when we feel like there is no way out, you move in and you change everything. So move in our midst today. Even as we go through the lesson, I pray that your presence will move in the situations of every listener, that you will begin to move in our circumstances, that you're going to show yourself strong, you'll show yourself powerful on our behalf. So Lord, grant us knowledge today. Grant us wisdom. Grant us understanding. Help us as we go through this lesson. May your presence be with us. We love you. We exalt you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. Around 465 BC, God put forth His majestic foot to write world history. Israelites were living amongst the Persians. They were in a foreign land, and that is because God had driven them into the hands of the Persian Empire right at that point because of their sin. Now, the Persians were people who did not fear God. They didn't care for Him. This was the time when King Ahasuerus, also known as Xerxes, had succeeded his own father, King Darius. He had now retired to a palace in a place called Shushan. Shushan was one of the four capitals of the Persian Empire. And so to celebrate his retirement, King Ahasuerus threw a very magnificent and elaborate party. And this party, the Bible says, tells us that it lasted 180 days. This party was for everyone who lived in Shushan. During that party, the king showed his riches, he showed the glories of the land, the glories of his kingdom, he showed the honor and the excellency of his majesty. He wanted to parade it and show it to the world, all that he had accomplished. The Bible also records that every man who was invited, who was shown those riches, drank from vessels of gold. And every vessel of gold was diverse and different from any other that was there. They were not just drinking in golden vessel, but the Bible also says that they were served royal wine. It was served in its abundance, and it was served according to the state of the king and according to every man's pleasure. So people were there to feast and to enjoy. You can look at that in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. And so among those who were attending the feast was Haman. The Bible describes Haman that he was a highly ambitious and villainous man. He was wicked, in other words. Haman was filled with a real unholy fervor to destroy God's children. His heart was burning every single day to put his hands on God's own children. And at that time, when King Ahasuerus threw that party, Queen Vashti also made a feast for all the women who were in the royal palace. And on the seventh day, the Bible records that the king's heart was very merry from wine. And characteristic of any flesh that has been very well fed, sensuality was aroused. So the king ordered the eunuchs, those are the people who served him in the palace, to bring Queen Vashti. They wanted her to come wearing her royal crown so that she would show out her beauty. The king's officials were instructed to look at that beauty because she was very beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused. And this made the king very furious. His anger burned so much that on that very material day, Queen Vashti was dethroned. And a decree was put in place so that a search was initiated for a beautiful young virgin who would then become queen in place of Queen Vashti. Among the candidates was Esther, who is also called Hadassah. Esther was an orphan. And the Bible also tells us that she was a cousin to Mordecai. Mordecai was one of the Jews who stayed right there by the king's gate. And because Esther was exceedingly beautiful, we have said she found favor, she found grace, even before those who were preparing her to go and meet the king. And her beauty won the day. The king was most pleased with her, and so she became his wife and the queen. Mordecai's position, remember Mordecai is Esther's own cousin. Now Esther is the queen, the wife to the king who has already dethroned Queen Vashti here. So Mordecai's position stationed him within the king's gate. And this is where the official business matters took place. But Mordecai could not bow to one man called Haman, who was one of the king's officials who had been recently been promoted. So Haman hated the Jews. Remember, this is the very wicked man. He had a passion to destroy the Jews. But Mordecai never bowed down to Haman. And so Haman was also very angry. Remember, he was a wicked, wicked man. Haman was very, very angry because Mordecai could not bow. And so he began to seek an occasion when he would kill the Jews in the entire Persian Empire just because of this one man who is not bowing. But Mordecai, looking at how God works in his own mysterious situations and in ways that man cannot understand, Mordecai had previously learned of a plot by some two angry eunuchs to kill the king. And he had used this information to save the king. So Haman went ahead and devised a clever scheme to destroy the Jews. In fact, he painted them as a very rebellious, a very dangerous, a very, very wicked people to the king. So he got the king to sign the decree to destroy, to kill, and in fact to annihilate all the Jews. And all those Jews were going to be annihilated on one day. They were going to destroy both the young and the old. They were going to destroy little children. They would also destroy even the women. And Haman, in his deceitful schemes, had made the king to sign the decree and seal it with his own signet ring. But I want you to look at how God's presence can entangle even wicked people until he causes them to act in accordance to his own will, until he brings his plans to fruition. So Haman is about to get entangled here. So Mordecai called on Esther, believing that God had raised Esther to power at such an opportune time to save his own people. Those are the Jews. So God stepped in, and in a very miraculous way, Esther, in her own wisdom, began to work ways of softening the king's heart. She sought for just the perfect timing when she would plead for the lives of her own people. And one day, proud Haman was reporting on duty one morning. And then the king inquired of Haman the very best way he could honor a man that pleased him. And you know, for this villainous, ambitious, wicked man, Haman thought to himself, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? His very selfish and prideful nature naturally came into play. So Haman went ahead and gave the king an elaborate narration of what the king could do to honor the man he had chosen for the day. In fact, Haman was in very high spirits, still thinking that it was him who was about to be honored. And before he had come to work, he had constructed 75-foot gallows back in his home. And on that morning, he was armed again with his malice. He had that malicious request for the king. He wanted the king to sanction so that Mordecai would be executed on the very gallows that he had constructed in his home. But little did he know that the king had not slept all night long. The king had tossed in bed back and forth and would not get any sleep. And as the king wrestled within the night, God in his own majesty had caused the king to open the books of the annals. Those are the chronicles where they kept record of all the occurrences. And on that night, he opened right to where Mordecai had saved the king's life, and yet nothing had been done for him. So to Haman's surprise, the king asked him to fulfill every detail that he had enumerated, and to honor Mordecai just as he had described. You can read that entire story in Esther chapter 6. So Mordecai was honored. In fact, it is the very Haman who drove Mordecai in the city as he announced, this is what the king does to the man he wishes to honor. It was Haman driving his very enemy around the city, around that empire right there, driving Mordecai. So Mordecai was honored, but Haman hurried back home in shame and in humiliation. So he went and shared this funny ordeal with his wife, together with other people who had actually advised him to construct those gallows. And while he was still narrating this ordeal, the king's eunuchs came and quickly took Haman to the king so that they would have the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king And Haman dined that day with Queen Esther. And the king inquired of Esther's petition right there that warranted the banquet. And then the wheels, those very wheels that had begun getting loose on Haman's own chariots, began to fall off in a very quick hurry. Right there at the banquet, Esther disclosed that the plot to destroy, the plot to kill, the plot to annihilate her own people had actually been formulated by that wicked Haman. The king wondered, who is he? If you look at Esther chapter 7 verse 5, who is he? And where is he that dost presume in his heart to do so? The king inquired. It's like the king was asking, how daring can somebody be? How can somebody scheme and decide to kill, to destroy, to annihilate my own wife's relatives? The answer took the king by surprise. If you look at Esther chapter 7 verse 6, the Bible records, she replied and said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So the king was very furious. He was so furious that he actually had to step out into the outer courts for a moment. And then at that point when the king had stepped out, Haman, fearing for his own life, fell upon the bed right where Esther was, and he began to plead his cause. And then look at how God works again and intervenes in his situations and entangles even wicked people with his own presence. The king returned only to be alarmed the more at Haman's own position. Look at verse 8 of Esther chapter 7. And the king shouted, will he force the queen also before me in the house? He cried out. And then as the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And then again, look at what God does in very orderly and very strategic manner. Right there, among the chaplains that were present, was one who knew what Haman had done. One of the chaplains knew that Haman had built gallows to execute Mordecai that very day. So he shared it with the king. And verse 9, look at what the king does. The king quickly said, hang him thereon. So the king commanded Haman to be hung. And so Haman was hung on his own gallows together with his family. God has the ability to do wonders even today. God's presence has the power to change situations that are humanly impossible. But let us enjoy the unfolding of God's own wonders together as we witness God's sovereignty at work, as we witness God's majesty. I would like us to look at Esther, the book of Esther chapter 8, and read it together from verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. As we enjoy God's unfolding and you let the Holy Spirit work within your heart to draw you unto God and to build faith in you, knowing that God who fought for Mordecai at that hour when he was totally outnumbered, he had been outsmarted, they had cunningly and deceptively worked schemes against him, he can still fight for you today. On that day, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jews enemy unto Esther the queen? And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device. that he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. Look at verse 7 and 8. Move on there. So Esther arose and stood before the king. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then look at verse 8. Look at how God works. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people, and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Look at verse 16 and 17. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every city and in every city whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So God did the unexpected. God's own people were destined to be killed, to be destroyed, to be annihilated on one single day. And God changed the verdict. Instead, it was the enemy who was killed, who was destroyed, who was annihilated on that very, or in that very single day. God did the unexpected right there. And God used the most unlikely means to even orchestrate and accomplish his own purposes. Causing a king not to sleep, causing the king to open the book of the annals, causing the king to open just the right page that he could save his people. God's presence will bring hope. It will bring healing even in hopeless situations. You may listen, or you may be listening, and you are faced with circumstances that are humanly impossible. Things that you cannot handle. You have cried, you have prayed, you have sought help, you have been desperate for days, for weeks, for months. And still, nothing has changed. When God's presence comes in, change is inevitable. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prevail when God is present. God has his promise. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prevail. Instead, you're going to refute every tongue that accuses you, because this is part of your heritage as a child of God. God will fight for you again. God will establish you. God is going to fight for you, and you will hold your peace. God wants you to follow him, just stick to him, and just hold on to him, and behold his salvation. Are you faced with very difficult situations? Are you faced with situations that look humanly impossible to solve? Yes, God's presence will bring hope even in those hopeless situations. Do you feel like there is nobody who can help you? Do you feel like you are all by yourself? Yes. If you're a child of God, God wants to work in your life. He wants to help you right there in your circumstance. Do you feel powerless? Do you feel weak? Yes, God still does the impossible. He will do it for everyone that will allow him. God still does the unexpected. His presence still brings order in situations where man's hand is too small and too powerless to create change. Don't be your own worst enemy. Side with God against yourself. God wants to nourish you. God wants to protect you. God wants to favor you. God wants to provide for your needs. Will you purpose to walk with God and enjoy the benefits of His presence? Let us pray together. Father, I do not know what to tell you this day, but I want to exalt your name. I want to bless your name. I want to say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your words of strength. Thank you for your words of healing. Lord, situations can be tough. Circumstances can be tough. They can be unbearable. But you are God. We are but dust. Stand with your children today. Father, fight for your children. Those who are crying out to you, may you reach out in your power, in your goodness, in your grace, in your majesty. Walk in our own situations today. Father, we love you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for coming and helping your own children. We have prayed all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.